So just a little bit smaller crowd, a little bit more intimate feeling. I grew up in a church that consisted of five families. And so everybody knew everybody. If there was a visitor, you recognized. This feels at least a little closer to what I was used to growing up. Kids, we don't have Sunday school for you today, but you are in luck because this morning the sermon is, I'm just going to tell a story. That's going to be the whole sermon. We started that tradition 2 years ago on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. I told the story of Pilgrim's Progress. And then last year I told part two of Pilgrim's Progress. And this morning I'm going to tell a story. It's called Keeping Holiday. It's a story written by Star Mead and parents or grandparents. It's a great book. I've read this to my kids a couple times, and I would commend it to you. I'm going to tell it briefly this morning, but I can't tell it in all the detail. So I would highly recommend get a copy of Keeping Holiday and read it to your kids or grandkids. It's a great story. It's an allegory of the Christian life. Some of the best stories give us an allegory, give us a picture, a metaphor of what it's like to be a Christian, what it's like to be a follower, a disciple of Christ on our way to heaven, on this journey. I mean, this is just our journey. This is not the destination. We are on our way to heaven. And what happens during the day, during our weeks and years and months here on earth, these are just details on the journey to heaven. And so I'm going to read a couple of verses from the book of 1 Peter that will kind of frame the story, and then I'm going to tell the story. In 1 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 8, we read these amazing words that Peter wrote to all followers of Jesus. He wrote this: though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him. And you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Let's pray, and then I'll tell the story. Holy Father, again, I'm thankful that you've gathered us here together, and I'm thankful that you have made us a family in a very real sense of that word. We're not just pretending. We're not just playing dress up, but we are a family. Jesus, you said it. Who is my mother, my brothers, and my sisters? Those who do the will of God. That's my family. You said that, Jesus, and we believe it. And so we are happy. We're so thankful to be a part of your family. And even though we haven't seen you, we honestly don't know what you look like. We have ideas, but we have never seen you, and yet we love you. We don't see you now. We know that you're here. I know that you're here, but we don't see you. And yet we believe in you. We believe in you. We don't just believe that you were. We believe that you are. And we rejoice with a joy that's inexpressible and filled with glory because we are obtaining the outcome of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. And so through the listening of this story, Lord, I pray that you would make that, these things from these verses, just a little bit more real to us as we journey to be with you. Because I believe with all my heart that one day we will see you and it will be amazing. In your name we pray. Amen. Keeping Holiday. It's a story about a young man named Dylan and his cousin Claire. Dylan, every year, Dylan's family would go on holidays. They would go on vacation to a town called Holiday. And when in Holiday, everything was good. In Holiday, everything was always better than it was back home during just the normal part of the year. And this particular year, Dylan and his family are driving to Holiday. And Dylan is wondering to himself, why can't it be like that all the time? Why is it just that little window of time when we go on vacation to Holiday that things are so good? Why is it that the souvenirs seem better when you're there and you buy them, but then when you get them home, they're not that great? And why is it that the food just tastes better in Holiday? And why does everyone seem to get along better in Holiday? Everyone's more joyful. Everyone's more friendly. Life is better in Holiday. And why can't life be like that all the time? Why can't I keep holiday? Why can't I take it with me during the rest of the year? These are the things that he's wondering as they're driving on their way to holiday for their vacation this year. So they get there, and just like it always is, it's great. The food's great, the smells are great, the people are great, everything looks lovely, and he's having a wonderful vacation, but at the same time, he's wondering more and more, he's feeling more and more actually saddened because it's so good, but it's not going to last, and he's going to, in a week, going to have to go home. And so he's thinking about these things, and it's a Sunday, and they always attend church when they're on holiday. There's a little chapel that they go to in the town of Holiday, and so they go and they experience the church service, which was better than the church services at home. The songs are better. People sing louder. The sermon's better. It's shorter. It's more interesting. It's just everything's better in Holiday. And so he just feels like he wants to process this a little bit. And so he tells his parents, I'm just going to walk home by myself. You go back to the rental cottage. I'm going to make my way home. And so he just sort of wanders around the church, and he's thinking about all of these questions. And as he's walking behind the church, he sees a gate. Never seen this gate before. And he looks at it, and there's a flyer that has been blown and is kind of just stuck to the gate. And so he picks up this flyer and he reads it, and it says on it, "Would you like to keep holiday? Pass through the church garden gate for more information." So here he is at this gate he's never seen before, and here's this flyer saying it's possible to keep holiday. All these things he's been wondering, if he just passes through this gate. And so he walks through, and sure enough, on the other side of the gate, there is a path. And of course, everyone in these stories always know you see the path, you follow it. And so he starts following the path, and it leads him through some woods that he's never seen before. It leads him through a broad meadow that's beautiful, and it leads him up onto a hill. And then when he looks down from the hill, he sees that down in the valley, there is a town. And it's beautiful. I mean, really beautiful. Like, the architecture is just amazing, and the colors are amazing, and he hears music coming from the town, and it's beautiful, and he can even smell these amazing smells wafting up from the town, and he thinks, wow, never seen this place before. And then he sees a big arch of a sign, and it says, "City of Holiday, entrance ahead." And he thinks, well, that's weird. If that's holiday, and where have I been? Is that the real holiday? Have I been in a fake holiday? And so he wants to go and check it out. He wants to see the real city of holiday. So he starts heading towards it, but there's a fence, and there's a gate, and there's a guard, and there's a sign, and it says authorized personnel only. So he walks over to the guard, and he says, Can I go in there? I want to visit holiday. And the guard says, "Well, you can't get in here without authorization. You have to be authorized to get into holiday." And Dylan says, "Well, how do you get authorized? Who authorizes people?" And the guard says, "Well, the founder. The founder has to authorize you." And Dylan says, "Well, okay, where do I find him?" And the guard says, "Oh, no. You don't find the founder. The founder finds you. Because he's not just the founder, he's the finder too." Well, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to him, but that's all the guard said. And so he had no choice. He had to leave. He couldn't go through. And so he went home, walked home to the rental cottage, and then the vacation was over, and his family drove home. And he was just processing this very strange thing that had happened to him. And while he was at home, he got together with his cousin Claire, and he explained to Claire what had happened, how he had found this place and tried to get in, but they wouldn't let him in because he wasn't authorized. And Claire said to him, "Well, did you go back? Did you try again?" And Dylan said, "Yeah, I did. I tried to find it again, but when I went back, the gate wasn't there. I looked all around the church and I couldn't find it again. But I still have the flyer, so I know that it was real. I know that I saw this place. Well, that's all there was to it. There was nothing more to do. And so the year went on, and next year, the time for the trip to Holiday came, and this year, Claire's family came along with Dylan's family. They went together. And so Claire and Dylan were both there, and they went to the church because they were so excited to check it out, and they go and they searched all around the church grounds, and they can't find the gate. There's nothing there. As Claire's in her bedroom later that day, she's looking through a dresser and she finds this brochure. And on the brochure, it says, "A Guide to Holiday for Visitors and Residents." And in the brochure, it says, "Holiday is a wonderful and beautiful city, but most visitors never actually make it any further than the visitor center because official authorization is required to go any further. But there are temporary visitors' permits that are available on the back of the church." So she reads all this on the brochure, she shows it to Dylan, and they take off running to the church to check it out. And they go inside the church and they look in the back, and sure enough, there is a rack of brochures and cards and stuff like that. And they go over to this rack and they look through it, and they find visitors' passes to the real Holiday. And they're so excited, and they look at it, and the pass says that it's good for 4 days. You can visit the real Holiday with this pass for 4 days. But the rule is you have to keep this pass on your person at all times. And if ever you fail to present your pass to someone who asks, then you receive an enormous fine, you're expelled from Holiday, and you're banished for the rest of your life from ever going back. Well, they're looking at these passes and all excited and trying to figure out if this is going to get them into the real Holiday. And as they're doing that, a kindly older gentleman walks over and asks them, "Well, what are you doing? What have you found? What are you so excited about?" And they explain about the real Holiday and the gate, and you have to be authorized, and they found these passes. And the man, whose name is Mr. Smith, says, "Oh, well, you know, kids use these visitor passes just to pretend. It's just a game that they play. You know, when we're little, when we're children, we believe that there's a better Holiday. We believe that there's a place that will last all year, that will just extend the joy of a Holiday so that it's always a Holiday. But when we get older, we know better. We know that no such place exists." Well, Claire and Dylan don't know what to make of it. They've got these passes. They've got this guy saying it's not real. They go home and they tell Dylan's parents all about it. And Dylan's parents look at each other and they say, "Finally." And they look Dylan in the eyes and they say, "Dylan, this might be the most important trip that you ever make. So go on this journey and keep your eyes open and keep your ears open and pay attention to everything and obey any signs that you see. There is nothing, Dylan, more important than that you get authorized to Holiday." And Dylan looks at his parents and he says, "What? You've been there?" And they say, of course. "Of course we have, and it is our dearest wish as your parents that you too would go there and get authorized." And Dylan says, "Well, and why haven't you taken me there?" And they said, "Dylan, we've taken you as close as we can, but you need to make the rest of this trip on your own. So Dylan, make every effort while you're there to find the founder." Dylan says, "Well, yeah, but the guard told me something weird about you don't find the founder finds you." And his parents said, "Well, the founder has a way of being found nonetheless." Well, off they go on their big journey, Dylan and Claire and their visitor passes, and they go behind the church, and this time when they go there to look, the gate is there. And they go through it, and they walk along the path, and they get to the one with the guard at it. And the guard says, "Well, you need passes to get through here." They show him their passes, visitor pass, good for 4 days. He says, "Okay, you can come in here for 4 days, but I want to warn you, if you ever fail to present your visitor pass, that's going to result in a fine, in expulsion, and banishment forever from Holiday." And after 4 days, you have to go. And they say, okay, they give him the pass. He stamps them. They give him back. And now they're headed off towards Holiday. And as they're walking towards Holiday, they're through the gate. They see this sign, and it says, first time guests this way. And it points the other direction. And Dylan says, that's crazy. Holiday, it's right there. I'm not going to go that direction. It's right there. And so they ignore the sign, and they keep going towards Holiday. And as they go, they see another sign, and it says, first time visitor, wrong way. They read that, and Dylan's like, how can this be the wrong way? It's just right ahead of us. We're going this way. And so they ignore the sign, and they keep walking. After a little while, they see another sign. It says, warning, wrong way for first-time visitors. And Claire says, Dylan, maybe we should go back the other way. And Dylan says, no, but that's the wrong way. I know where we're going. We have to go this way. And so they get there. And then what happens is they come to a locked gate before the city of Holiday. And to open the gate, it says, there's a sign. It says, to open the gate, you need to give proof of life and insert your visitor's pass. And Dylan's like, well, what does that mean, proof of life? I'm alive. Here's my proof of life. Look at me. And so he sticks his visitor pass in, and it spits it back out. It says, rejected. First-time visitor, proof of life required. And then there's a warning that pops up on the screen, and it says, any attempts to ignore signs may result in permanent loss of visitor's pass. And so they have to turn around and head all the way back, which is especially discouraging because they're working on a time frame here. They only have 4 days, and now they have to go all the way back. And so they go all the way back. They follow the signs, first-time visitors this way, and it's taking them farther and farther away from Holiday. And as they follow the path, they see that it leads to a big hill, and then there's a tunnel that's dug into the hill, and the path leads them, the signs point them to go into this tunnel in the side of the hill. And they're standing there thinking, well, is this what we should do? Walk in through this gate and into the side of this hill? And just as they're trying to figure it out, that older gentleman that met him in the church shows up again, Mr. Smith. And he says, are you talking about the real Holiday again? Didn't I tell you that's kid stuff? It doesn't exist. What are you doing here? You're wasting your time. There is no bigger and better Holiday. Just enjoy the one you have. You're being so ungrateful. And they're starting to think that there's something wrong with this guy, Mr. Smith. Maybe he's trying to convince them not to go because he knows something that they don't. And so they ignore him, and they step through the gate, and they go into the tunnel. And as they're walking in, they hear Mr. Smith call, well, okay, but many go in there, and very few come out. Dylan says, calls back and says, yeah, but there's no warning signs. And Mr. Smith says, yeah, well, someone's playing a trick on you. And Claire starts getting a little scared because it looks dark in there. And she says, Dylan, maybe we shouldn't go in. But Dylan says, no, just come on, it'll be fine. And so they walk into this tunnel, and it's spooky like tunnels are. And it's dimly lit. And once they're in, the gate swings shut behind them, and then it's totally dark. And they're in this tunnel, and it's totally dark. And they start to hear this soft moaning. This sounds like a human in pain. And they can hear this moaning, and they don't know what to do. They start walking forward, and as they go forward, this moaning gets louder and louder, and it starts to sound like shrieking. And the further into this hole they go, the smell just starts getting worse and worse. In fact, Dylan earlier that year had found a dead rabbit in his yard, and the smell in this tunnel was reminding him of what that dead rabbit smelled like, and it was just awful. And the noise of people screaming and the smell and the darkness, and they were so scared. And Claire says, we need to go back. This is crazy. We don't even know where we're going. And listen to all these people who are suffering in here. We have to go back. But as soon as she turned around to go back, there was a wall. They didn't realize it, but there was a wall right behind them. But they had just come from there. But somehow, now when they turned around, their way was blocked. And so they had no choice but to go forward. And so they grabbed hands and kept walking forward. But as they got further and further in the tunnel, it got narrower and narrower. And after a while, they couldn't walk side by side. They had to walk one after the other. And so Claire was behind Dylan. And Dylan called back to her and said, Claire, you have to believe that holiday is just as wonderful as this place is awful. So we need to be brave and press on through it. And they got to a spiral staircase that led down even deeper. And they could only go one at a time. And so Dylan is walking down this spiral staircase and he loses track of Claire behind him. And so he quickly turns around to go back up and get her. But again, when he turns around, he finds that there's a wall behind him. And now he's been separated from Claire. And he has no choice but to continue walking down this spiral staircase. And finally he gets down to the bottom and he's just inside of a square room that's carved out of the rock, and it's so tiny he just has scrunched up in it. He can't even stand up in it, and it's boxed him in now on all sides, and it's pitch black, and he doesn't know what to do. And he starts hearing the shrieking louder and louder outside, and he thinks, this is it. I'm gonna die here. I'm never gonna see my parents again. This was the worst mistake I ever made in my life. But then in the midst of his despair, he starts to hear this faint humming. And something about it makes him know that it's good. It's a good sound. And then he hears a voice, and this voice calls him by name. It says, Dylan. And it's a huge voice. It's not an outside voice that he hears with his ears, but inside he can hear this voice call his name. And then this huge voice says, Dylan, come this way. And as soon as he heard the command, he knew he had to obey it. And not only did he know he had to obey that voice, but he knew that one day he had to see the one who had spoken those words. And even as he started to get up and follow, though, he told him, a different voice in his head said, yeah, but this will never work. You're stuck in this little room. It makes no sense. There's nowhere you can go. But he ignored that voice, and he just got up and followed. And what he found is that there was space in front of him, and he could walk. And so he slowly walked, and he followed the sound of the humming, and as he followed it, it led him, and he saw a little bit of daylight finally, and his heart leapt, and he ran after it, and then he stepped out into the daylight, and it just was like freedom for the first time. He was so excited, and he looks around for the voice, but he can't find it. And then he remembers that, wait a minute, Claire's back in there, and so he turns around and is about to head back in to get Claire, but a different voice stops him and says, why are you going back? And he looks around and he realized that this was the voice of a small pine tree that was talking to him. And then a bigger tree next to the small pine tree speaks and says, you know, you can't get her out through your exit. She needs to find her own exit. Eventually, Claire does find her own exit, and she does show up. And Dylan says, what happened to you? And she says, well, I heard I was stuck and lost, but I heard this humming and I realized that I recognized the humming and that I had actually been hearing that humming all my life. And so I followed it, and I wasn't scared at all. I knew it was going to be okay. And so Dylan asks the tree, and he says, does that happen to everyone? Does everyone get out of there? And the tree says, no. No, they don't. And Dylan says, well, why not? And the tree says, well, not everyone pays attention to the humming. In fact, some people don't even think that the humming is real. Some people just don't even notice it. And Dylan says, when I was in there, I heard a voice call me by name. Who called me to come out? And the tree said, well, that was the founder. And the tree then invited Dylan. The tree said, as you continue to make your way to holiday, you're going to have to show proof of life. Isn't that right? And Dylan said, yeah. What is that all about? And the tree says, well, I'm alive. You could take a piece of me to show proof of life. And Dylan doesn't want to, I'm not going to cut a piece of you off. And the tree says, well, no, that's how trees are different than humans. Trees can handle a little bit of pruning. In fact, it makes us grow even better. So feel free to take a piece. So Dylan feels a little bit weird about that, but he takes out his knife and he cuts off a piece of this pine tree and he puts it in his bag, and then off they go back to the place where they had been rejected before because they couldn't show proof of life. And they get to the place, they put their pass in, they put the little piece from the pine tree, and the gate swings open and they're allowed through. And they're told that they have to go through a certain part of town and get to a park. And the park will be safe, but they're warned, the part of town you have to go through is not nice. It's not a part of holiday, it's on the outskirts of town, it's the bad part of town. And so they have to go through this not nice part of town in order to get to the safety of the park. And as they're walking through, I mean, it's dirty. There's people there, but they're mean. They don't look you in the eye. They're not friendly. You can hear arguments and shouting going on. It's just not a pleasant place to be. And as they're going, Dylan pulls out the brochure about holiday to remind himself of where they're going and how good it'll be when they get there. And as he's reading it, he reads on the back, and it says this: people in holiday will. And then it has a list of things that people in holiday will do. It says they will look out for the interests of others. They will pay back evil, or they will pay back good for evil. They will do, speak, and think only what is kind. They will keep their tempers and emotions and mouths under control at all times. They will forgive the same person up to 490 times. They will show all due respect to the founder at all times. And they will rejoice in the very fullest way possible. Well, Dylan reads that list and he's a little intimidated because he doesn't feel like that really describes him. But they continue to walk through this part of town, and I don't have time to tell you all the details of what they experienced there, but the thing that was really unsettling for Dylan is that as he observed these people being mean to one another, he saw himself. He heard kids at the playground saying mean things to another kid who wasn't that good at a sport, and he realized that he had said things like that before to other kids. And he saw how ugly it was. He saw other people getting impatient because there was an older gentleman that was walking slow in front of him. And he realized, even though he didn't actually say the words, he had similar thoughts in his own heart under similar circumstances. And so as he walked through this bad part of town over and over again, he saw himself revealed. And he saw how ugly it was, the way that he had behaved towards others. Finally, right before they get to the park, which would be a place of safety for them, he gets attacked by a group of boys. They throw dirt at him, and Dylan just can't handle. He can't just walk away. He has to retaliate. He's so angry, and so he charges at the boys, and they get into a fight, and the boys surround him, and they're beating him up. And then a police officer comes and chases him all away. And Dylan says, "Well, it's not my fault, though. I didn't start it." And the cop says, "Well, you're just as guilty because you were involved, too." Anyways, they end up making it to the park. And then to get into the park, you have to insert your visitor's pass. And all of a sudden, Dylan realizes he had lost his pass in the fight. In fact, what he realizes is that the whole thing was a setup. And the boys had intended to steal his wallet the whole time. And they did. And he was without his pass. And so as he has to insert the pass in order to get into the park, and it says, if you have no pass, press no. So he pushes the no button. And then on the screen, the words pop up. It says, enormous fine, due now. And then there's a pause. And then he just feels sick. And he feels like he's totally blown his one chance. He wrecked everything, and now he's never going to make it to holiday. And then as he's thinking about that, he's thinking, well, you know what? It wouldn't matter anyways because I wouldn't get authorized to go in because I don't meet the standards. My life doesn't look like what was described in that list of how you're supposed to look. And just as he's thinking all those things, the machine beeps again and a sign comes up and it says, fine paid in full, new pass issued. And they walk into the park and Dylan says to Claire, who paid my fine? Who got me a new pass? And Claire says, well, I don't know. And then a tree kind of interrupts the conversation and says, excuse me, I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but it's easy to overhear conversations when you're a tree. And I just want you to know, it was the founder who paid your fine. It was the founder who issued a new pass for you. And Dylan says, but why? I thought all kinds of bad things were supposed to happen to you when you lose your pass. And the tree says, well, it is true that bad things are supposed to happen when you lose your pass, and that would be justice. But the founder is in charge of everything here. And if he wants to give you grace instead of justice, that's his choice. He's allowed to do that. And Dylan says, oh, well, I'm glad for the gift of a new pass. I'm glad that he paid my fine, but I still have a problem. And the tree says, well, what? And Dylan says, well, the problem is I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to be authorized to be in Holiday. The flyer says that I have to look out for the interests of others and pay back good for evil, and I have to do and think and speak only that which is kind and all kinds of other things if I'm ever going to get into Holiday. And the tree said to him, well, that's not what it says. And Dylan said, yes, it does. I just read it. And the tree says to him, well, read it again. And Dylan reads it. It says, authorized personnel will, and then it lists all the stuff. And he says, see, you have to do all that stuff to get in. And the tree says, no, you're not reading carefully enough. That's not what it says. It says, authorized personnel will do these things. It doesn't say that they do it in order to become authorized. It says they will do it once they're authorized. Dylan, the founder knows what people are like. In fact, the founder brings you through this very neighborhood that you just came through so that you will learn what you're like. He already knows what you're like. He wants you to see that you don't measure up and that the only reason that you're here in Holiday is because of his grace. And Dylan said, well, so you mean it's really not about me meeting the requirements? And the tree says, no, it's all about the founder. And Dylan says, oh, well, okay, where can I find the founder? And the tree says, oh, well, you don't find the founder. The founder finds you. He's not just the founder. He's the finder, too. And Dylan says, okay, I get it. I've heard that before. But then what should we do now? And the tree says, well, follow the path. And sure enough, when he looks down, he sees that he's still on the path. And the tree says, follow the path and take it to the candle shop. So the story goes on and on. I promised my kids they'd be eating olibolin at noon, and so I'm going to have to leap over some parts of the story that if you want to find out some of the details, you'll have to read it yourself. But they make it to the candle maker, and as you can imagine, there's a lot of trials and tribulation on the way. They end up in darkness. Mr. Smith shows up again and tries to convince them that darkness is actually better than light, and that they should just embrace the darkness. And in fact, a lot of people have embraced the darkness and prefer it over the light, but they don't take that route. And the candle maker ends up coming out and finding them and bringing them back to his shop. And then they ask him to learn more about the founder, and he talks about the love of the founder and how the founder even loves those people who are choosing to be out in darkness and has invited them to come in, but those people have convinced themselves that they prefer the darkness. And Dylan then asks the candle maker how he can find the founder, and I think you can guess what the response that he got is. You don't find the founder. The founder finds you. Because he's not just the founder, he's the finder too. And so he sends Dylan up a mountain, Dylan and Claire, and they go up this very, very tall mountain, and it's very, very hot, and they're very tired when they start getting to the top. And of course, Mr. Smith shows up again and tries to tempt them to stop and rest and have a drink, but they don't fall for that, and they make it all the way up to the mountain in this little chapel. They go up the bell tower. There's bells up there that sing beautiful songs, but also speak to them and tell them more about the founder. And then when Claire and Dylan come down from being up in the bell tower, there's a hot meal, a beautiful feast laid out for them that wasn't there when they went up. And Dylan starts to wonder, is the founder following us? Or maybe actually the founder's leading us and we're following him. And it's all becoming very confusing. And they spend the night under the stars. And in fact, they have a long conversation with the stars. And the stars explain more about the founder. And then they ask the stars, how can they find the founder? And you know the response they get from the stars. And they end up being instructed to go down the hill and to find this place called Winter. And so they make their way there. And of course, on the way to Winter, they get hit with a blizzard. They get lost. They think they're going to freeze to death. Who shows up but Mr. Smith, who has blankets and a snowmobile and can take them to warmth. But they don't go there. And they go to this other place in Winter. And they meet these penguins that tell them more about the founder and that feed them and warm them up. And finally, they get on this sleigh with reindeer that takes them into the actual city of Holiday. They finally made it. They're in the real Holiday, and it's way better than they imagined. It's like 100 times better than the Holiday that he used to go to. It's incredible. It surpasses all of his expectations. But the only thing, by now, it's not enough. Because now all he wants to do is meet the founder. And being with the founder, meeting the founder, knowing the founder has become more important to him than even himself being in holiday. And so he wants to give the founder a gift, and he's trying to figure out what he could give the founder. And then, of course, another wise tree talks to him and says, well, you can't give the founder anything. He owns everything. He doesn't need anything. There's nothing to give the founder. And so he's like, okay, well, he's never going to find me then. I think he only is going to find people that have gifts to give him. And the tree explains to him how that's way off. And so he just goes to the chapel. He has one day left. He has to leave holiday at sundown that day. He goes to the chapel and he just says, I'm just going to sit here and wait to be found. And so he just sits and waits. One more person comes into the church. And it's this kind of rumpled looking guy who's really busy and has lots to do. And Dylan doesn't know any better. So he says, are you the founder? And the guy starts laughing, and he's like, do I look like the founder? Are you kidding me? And Dylan's like, I don't know. I've never seen the founder. I don't know what he looks like. And the man says, well, I've never seen the founder either, but I have all of these things I got to get done today. Can you help me? And Claire's about to say, well, no, sorry, we can't, because this is our last day here, and we got to stay here because we want to meet the founder. But Dylan interrupts her and says, Yeah, we can help you. Do you think that you could get us back here before sunset? And the man says, I don't know. We have loads to do. I'm not sure that we can. I don't make any promises. And Dylan's like, well, that's okay. We'll help you. And Claire's like, what are you doing? And Dylan says, well, I just think that that's what the founder would want us to do. And so they'd go and they spend the whole day helping out this guy. And what he had to do was deliver gifts to, like, their first stop was at a house where there were some orphans. Their parents had died, and this elderly couple had taken them in, and they didn't have any money. And so they dropped off some gifts for these orphans. And then they stopped at a house where the mother of four kids, and she was sick, and she needed help. And so they went in her kitchen, and they cleaned it up, and they made a nice meal for them. And then they stopped by an elderly couple who needed help with their lawn. And they just one after another, they're just helping people out. And as they're doing it, Dylan just can't contain himself. He's just telling people about the founder, even though he's never met the founder, about how great he is and how excited he is that maybe one day he'll meet him. And he just can't stop telling people about the founder throughout the whole day. Finally, all their chores are done. And he sees that the sun is just setting now. They haven't made it back to the chapel. And he was so busy serving and helping others that he hadn't thought much about the time, but now all of a sudden he realizes he's missed it. He's blown it. It's time to leave. And he hasn't met the founder. And so he says to the man who he's been helping out all day, he says, you better just take us back to the gate. We have to leave. Our time is up. And we never met the founder. And the man looks at him and says, what? You've never met the founder? And Dylan says, well, no. And neither have you. And the man says, well, of course I've met the founder. And Dylan says, but when I first met you, you said you haven't. And the man says, no, I said I've never seen him. I've met him. And just then they arrived at the gate where Dylan had to leave. But at the gate, there's a group of people and trees and stars and bells that are all standing there at the gate. All of these characters that he's met throughout his 4 days in holiday. And then there's a man that he hadn't met before holding a shepherd's crook. And that man comes and kneels down and looks him in the eyes and says, so, you're trying to find the founder, are you? And Dylan says, well, no, because you don't find the founder. He finds you. Except he's never going to find me because I have to leave now. And the shepherd says, Dylan, you think that you haven't been found? Don't you know there are so many reasons to believe that you have been found? And Dylan said, what?
Just then, one of the trees said, I told you, didn't I, when you were stuck in that tunnel, that it was the founder's voice that you heard in the cave. And the gatekeeper said, and how do you even think that you found that flyer in the first place? Don't you know that the founder put it there, knowing that you would be there, so that you would find it? And someone else says, and who do you think paid your fine when you lost your pass? And the candle maker said, and who do you think sent me to come find you when you were lost in the darkness? And the bell said, and who do you think brought you food when you needed it? How could he have provided for your needs if he hadn't found you yet? And the shepherd said, and if you didn't know the founder, you wouldn't have wanted to give him a gift. But you do know the founder, and you did give him a gift. You spent your whole last day loving and serving others, and that's a gift that the founder is glad to receive. And Dylan was just amazed at all that he was hearing, and he was thinking, could it be true? But he's found me, but I've never seen him. And they responded and said, none of us have seen him. No one has seen him for a long, long time now, but we all know him, and we all love him. You may not have seen him, but he's been with you this whole time. And it'll take you a long time to get to know him, but you have found him because he has found you. And they told him to look at his pass, and he looked at his pass, and it said this, permanent authorization to keep holiday all year in all places at all times. And that is the story of keeping holiday. And he took holiday with him from that point on. And so I'll close with the verses I opened with, and then I'll pray and we can finish our time here this morning. This is what we read in 1 Peter. It says, though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him. And you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. And you obtain the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Holy Father, I do thank you that in each of us you have put eternity in our hearts. And you've given us a childlike wonder and a childlike longing for a place that's not this place. A knowledge deep in our hearts that this is not ultimately what we were made for, and that this is not ultimately all that there is. That something has gone wrong in the world that we're in, that it wasn't meant to be like this, and that it won't always be like this. I pray that you would continue to fan that longing into flame in our hearts as we continue to journey towards the celestial city, towards holiday, towards the place where all is well. And I do thank you for the reminder this morning that we don't have to wait until we get there to live in the good of it now. That we can take it with us where we go because we have you now in our hearts because you have found us. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.